Lima just told me some really bad news about the future that I think a lot of fans are not going to be thrilled about.
And Ohio State and Ryan Day, top five matchup coming up on Saturday. What is it really, top five?
And a loser leaves town match for the wagon wheel. It's the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. What's up in it? What's happening, Tone? What's crapping in Tone?
Look, very excited.
Wagon Wheel is tonight. You should be excited, baby.
Wagon Wheel, what, one team has two wins, the other has zero?
Dare I say the loser of this game leaves town. Because if you lose to zero-win Kent State, bye-bye. And if you lose to Akron by a lot, bye-bye. Kenny Burns got to go, bud. Sorry.
Poor Kenny.
I've
talked to him on many occasions.
Jeez, I know you have a personal relationship with these guys.
Poor guy. Yeah. But you got to win. Like, they are getting throttled. Yes. Kenny.
If Joe Moorhead decides to leave.
Moorhead's playing, even in their losses, Moorhead has had them over the last 2 years.
Well,
one score games. I know that's loser's lament, but you got to understand where Akron was. Their offense is like a respected offense.
Well, that's why. Well, they can score. They just can't stop anybody. My theory is, when it comes to Joe Moorhead, is I think that if he were to lose tonight, all bets are off. If they win and you just finish 3-9, I think you get another year if you want it. But he's been offered OC jobs before each of the last couple of years.
I wonder now. Joe is a part of the reason he came home. As we like to start a lot of our podcasts about the Mid-American Conference, but we're giving you a primer.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
It's our Mid-American Minute.
Look, there's a debate over who talks better Mac on this station. It's either Baskin and Phelps or this show.
Well, and that's why we have our famous week. It's called Mac Talk, where we just talk Mac to each other.
They are more frequent in their talk of the Mid-American Conference, but when it counts, like tonight. So Moorhead, part of the reason he came home is his father is in Pittsburgh. And, you know, just getting up there in years and battling some health stuff. So that was one of the reasons why he came home. So you do wonder about that because he has been enticed before with offers. He is considered like an offensive madman.
Yes.
And he'll throw every form. I mean, there was a game that I did of theirs where I swear to God, they started the game with 10 different formations and four different quarterbacks. And I'm just like, how do you prepare for this? Like, what do you tell your defense?
You don't. You go, I have better athletes. Right. That's what you tell yourself.
What you do.
They can't do this forever. We have better athletes. They're going to get into trouble. Because it's like Navy. Now, I know Navy's lost a few in a row, and it started with Notre Dame. But it's like Navy started off to, what, 6-0?
Yeah.
And it's but you haven't played a team that has the athletes Notre Dame has.
Right.
It's like the same thing with Army. Like, you haven't played the type of athlete. So they'll out-athlete you. You might not be out-fought. But when it comes to the MAC, when it comes to those two teams, I'm dead serious about this. I heard Josh Cribbs on 19 talking about how he would want to be the head coach at Kent State. I say you might as well try. You might as well try. And if Joe Moorhead were to leave Akron, I'm giving a call to Vince Karras.
Well, I was going to say Julian Edelman. Can you get him to come along for the ride? Josh Cribbs.
That'd be great. Fine. Go ahead and do it. Oh, I have some high school news for you to know later on.
Oh,
after this, but I can't tell you
really?
Now.
Oh,
I cannot tell you. You are going to PNS is what you're going to do.
I already have a thought of what it could be. So,
Mike's off?
No, I'll just remember.
All right, write it down or Mitch send it to us.
Of course. Of course.
Because when it happens, I want you to go, you said it on the podcast. I go, I wouldn't say it on the podcast. I said after the podcast what would happen. So. You are gonna be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know. You might know before me.
Okay, I know we start out with college football, so I'll just ask this question. We can talk about it more on the radio tomorrow because tonight I believe there is a college football playoff seeding update. Are they doing that tonight?
It is on Tuesday evening.
Okay. So that's tonight. Will that be before the Wagon Wheel game? Is that on ESPN?
I think that's the lead in to the Wagon Wheel.
Oh, my God.
They said, get us something good.
All right, get us something good. So, Kenny.
Do they get tired of hearing the Rock Me Mama like a rag wagon wheel?
No. Why would you ever get sick of
No, I'm just asking. Okay, go ahead.
So
you can hear that song better than you can hear Anthony's mic currently.
All right,
did you bump it?
There it is.
There it goes.
So Ohio State.
Nope, you broke it again.
Ohio State.
Still broken.
No, I hear it.
So Ohio State.
Yeah,
has got Indiana.
You don't hear what's going out.
It's going over the thing.
Boy. Ken, oh, boy. How about now?
Ken, if you would like to get into an argument over the engineering of how this works.
Did I fix it?
It is fine right now.
Okay. So I won't touch it again. So Ohio State has Indiana this week. It's a big noon kickoff on Saturday.
Big noon.
It's going to be a little colder. They're not going to get the weather that you're getting on Thursday night in Cleveland. But it looks like I'll have to see if there's been an update. But I thought it was looking like 40s.
Mm.
Either way. It's been an amazing year for Indiana. It has been. They've been fun to watch. And I watched that Michigan game. They've been fun to watch.
Yeah.
They also, their strength of schedule, last time I checked, was like in the 110s.
Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're number five in the country, Anthony.
Do they do that in the Big Ten the way they do in the NFL? Because someone brought up that Wisconsin is playing a schedule that, or Indiana's playing a bottom six schedule. Wisconsin's playing a top six schedule.
Oh.
And that's why Wisconsin's struggling a little bit. And I'm going, do they stagger it like that? So if you like, or if you're Purdue, will you get a bottom, like, all right, you're going to play Northwestern, you're going to play, what's Rutgers right now? What's Maryland right now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll play Northwestern, you'll play UCLA, you'll play like that.
But this is the first year of this schedule, though, because of all the teams being added.
Does it happen that way?
Well, the schedules have completely been blown up. Like, look, Ohio State this year had an easy schedule because they didn't bother with their out-of-conference stuff. For whatever reason, this was like a weird year where they didn't have, you know, the colossal matchups outside of the, you know, they had Oregon because of the Big Ten schedule, which was awesome. That was a great matchup. But everything else, you know, we were treated to Western Michigan and Akron. And
those are good football games.
While they've always had, you know, some of those opponents, they've also, you know, had the big matchups against Notre Dame and Texas and Oklahoma and all that stuff. So USC, man, those were so much fun when they had those matchups. All that is for me to get to this.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it.
How the hell is Indiana fifth ranked in the country?
Because they're 10-0.
Okay, do we not have the ability to look into the schedules? They are not the fifth best team in the country.
I can't believe you and I are playing pole assassin, but here we are.
Are they even a top? Is Indiana a top 10 team? No, come on.
Yes, they are.
No, they're
currently
not.
According to ESPN's strength of schedule, are 106th ranked strength of schedule.
Okay, but, you know, I want to see how bad the schedule is because I know we use schedule game all the time, but when you get down to the nitty gritty, like, I think that the difference between, like, the middle, out of 135 teams, if you are middle to back end or middle to back end of middle, it's not that big of a difference, guys. It really isn't.
I get that. I saw.
So you get a team that's like 56 in strength of the schedule, like, well, you guys are 97th, which looks bad. It's like you were playing like a 4-8 team, and we played a 5-7 team.
Yeah, you're saying there's not much of a gap. And by the way, that's true. That's a fair point because. Oh, go ahead.
There is only one team in the top eight that is not from the SEC in strength of schedule this season. They do, however, reside in the state of Indiana.
So Notre Dame.
Purdue.
I think Purdue. Indiana could beat
Purdue.
I think in the top 10 right now, I think Indiana could beat Notre Dame, and that's about it.
They would be, Texas A&M's ranked 15th. I think an odds maker said it would be like a pick'em versus Texas A&M. They're the 15th best team.
Okay.
So, whatever.
You don't think they can beat Boise?
I get what you're...
You don't think they can beat SMU, Smooth?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I don't think they can beat BYU?
I think this is the game. I got to see him against the Buck. Honestly, I know it's a cop-out. I got to see him against Ohio State, and that'll color everything I'm going to say about them. You know, I know the regular season's almost over anyway. But to the fact that some of these teams could have their schedules, they could get to this point having not beaten anybody.
Listen, what
of
you,
consequence.
What you say is true. What you make a very valid point, all right? I can't deny it. I've watched, oddly enough, a lot of Indiana football this year.
They've been so much fun. They have been.
But I think part of it is that I like Curtis Rourke at OU. And so if you get Curtis Rourke, I'm going to watch him. He's an entertaining quarterback.
He is.
Even though he got hurt, their backup quarterback was pretty good, too. I think that actually helped that they won games with a backup because Curtis Rourke got dinged up.
That's a good point, yeah.
But also...
And how many guys from James Madison on that team? 12?
I think it's the, yes, I think it's the dramatic, I think it's the overcorrection by media. Because at first it's like, when are you going to rank Indiana? All right, when Indiana's 6-0, when are you going to put Indiana where they deserve to go? When are you going to do that? And so it's in our head, and because Indiana historically has not been that good, then you overrank them. You overrank them. And I do think, I think coaches matter. I think coaches' mentalities matter to the media, the people who vote on this. There are definitely people who cover college football who hate this, what I'm saying to them, but they know it's true. Kirk Cinetti, likable guy. Likable coach. And when you have Indiana going, which is a hard thing to do, this is the first time since, I think, 1967 they've been in the top five. If you get Indiana going, people are going to naturally want to like you.
Yeah.
So there are so many guys. Like, and you remember what happened with Kansas a few years ago? Rank Kansas, rank Kansas, rank Kansas. Because Kansas sucked out loud for the better part of a decade. Decade plus, not since Mark Mangino. It's the harder jobs, the historical harder jobs, if you get any sort of a run, we wait, we wait, we wait, and then we overcorrect. And so, yeah, is in a realistic world, is Indiana top five? No. Are they top 10? Yeah, maybe number 10. But so they are undefeated, and they're going to be rewarded for being undefeated.
What do we do with, let's say Indiana loses by two scores to Ohio State. They beat Michigan by five. Let's say they lose to Michigan, I mean to Ohio State this week, big game kickoff on Saturday. They lose by a couple of touchdowns where it was pretty clear Ohio State was the better team.
How does everybody else look?
What are you doing with Indiana in the playoff? Because they will now no longer be playing for the Big Ten championship. So they will be denied an extra data point.
They're out.
A one-loss Indiana that was top five.
Yeah.
That was top five, and one loss Indiana has now been eliminated.
Because if you're losing by two scores, then you can't give me a good solid argument.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Your non-con is Charlotte, and then the last game of the season you have Purdue, like FIU, Western Illinois, UCLA, which is conference, Charlotte. No, it's not comparable. It's not comparable to. I hate to be SEC guy. Yeah. Ole Miss would, I guarantee, has a better schedule. All right, off the top of my head, I would imagine they have a better schedule because of their conference. You know, Tennessee.
And by the way, some of these SEC teams have terrible losses this year. So yes. I'm not trying to make it seem like the SEC is
Georgia lost to Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah. Who lost to Georgia State?
Right, they lost. No, Tennessee lost to Arkansas.
Yeah,
Tennessee lost to Arkansas. I'm sorry, Arkansas's not that good. Not that good at all. Okay, so if they've lost by two scores, say everybody else wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eleventh or 12th, maybe 13th. They probably fall from 5 to 13 behind Boise.
Okay.
Just going by this, and everybody moves up a spot.
Georgia State beat Vandy.
Yeah. Boy, that was a bad loss for Vandy.
Yeah.
Vandy 6-4.
So, yeah, I'm not trying to make it seem like the SEC is like some unstoppable force. You know, like in years past, some of the idiots down in the South who want to make it seem like no Big Ten teams could ever, roll with them.
I agree with you.
Just Indiana in particular, this is so bizarre because, to be fair to Indiana, it's the fact that it's Indiana. Like, it is an awesome story for them.
And
you're right. People are trying to recalibrate in this new world of college football. What are we supposed to do with this? But when the schedules are so lopsided.
And in the playoff rankings, I think they'll do a lot of what they do with the old system with the college football playoff. Yeah, we'll put you here because you're going to get your 1 week in the sun.
Because they think they're going to lose.
Remember, with the original, you know who was
Builds up the game this week,
wasn't
too.
Wasn't Mississippi State in the original first ever vote for the college football playoff? Have your week in the sun. Have your enjoyment. Yeah. Because Ohio State's coming, and they haven't lost to you since 1988, and they probably will beat you again. And they'll probably, exactly as you said, Anthony, they'll probably beat you by a couple of scores. And then that'll be it. Because you're going to have Boise State with Austin Gentile is a big story, and they're really, really good. Which, that's amazing. They fired their coach, and they somehow got better, and they were not bad. They were not that bad. And the rest of these teams, like, I cannot tell you neutral site or in Bloomington. Like Alabama would hand it to them, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee. Once I get to Miami, then I'm kind of I'm kind of hemming and hawing here. Indiana, I do kind of hem and haw with Indiana.
And by the way, throw all this Indiana's back
probably,
in my face.
Indiana's probably brand name.
If the Hoosiers pull this off on Saturday, we're having a lot of different questions about Ryan Day. But it would be an amazing story, and feel free to throw all of this back in my face. Yeah. Because, but then at least I'll say this, Indiana will have proven it. They will have proven it. To this point, their undefeated record is awesome for them as a football program. They have not proven to be a top five team in college football.
Let's go back to Notre Dame for a second, okay? That win against A&M, pretty good win now.
Yeah, now it looks better. At the time, I was
NIU
like,
NIU loss is horrific. Is absolutely horrific.
They made up for it, right?
But think about this. They have not played a tight one. Boy,
They've been rolling. Marcus Freeman's been rolling.
Their schedule, I mean, they played Louisville. Louisville is a three-loss team right now. Stanford, they rolled, who just got a big win and an upset. Stanford just got a big upset win. They rolled over Georgia Tech, Navy, Florida State, who was not expected to play tough, and they did not play tough. And I listened to the UVA game. Oh, by the way, I don't know who does the Notre Dame radio. Listen to it on Saturday. He's fun. He's spunky. I don't know who it is. It used to be Paul Burmeister.
It's not Burmeister.
It's some younger sounding guy. I think it's a guy who sounds like he does Westwood One.
Okay.
He's fun. I don't know who it is. And you got to find her. No, there's another guy who's in the booth with
him. I'm looking.
And how they say it, when they send it back, but they say the color guy's name first.
Now let's compare that to the Michigan broadcast, of which I told you about coming back from one of the games.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. But no, I was listening to it. I go, this guy's, I'm having some fun listening to this guy. Yeah. This is kind of fun here.
Hey, look, this is going to be such a...
find out who it is. I want to give him credit.
It is amazing that Ohio State, Indiana, look, one team's undefeated, one team has one loss. When you see 1 versus 5 in November, it does just by virtue of that, as much as I'm trying to poke all
Ryan
sorts of holes.
Ryan Harris is
the color analyst.
He's there.
Ryan Harris played at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. It's Tony something. Tony what?
Simeone.
I think you're right.
Is the new play by.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He's fun. He's spunky. I wish I could get his whole name right. Sorry, but
August of 2024.
I'm sure he won't hear this, but whoever you are out there, buddy, I had fun listening to you while I was hanging Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. That was a good time. Anyway, go ahead.
So, did we ever find out after we heard for 3 days on the afternoon show that if you lose to New Orleans, it is a fireable offense for those within the Browns organization? Did we ever find out whether or not Nick and Jonathan actually held their feet to the fire on that?
I listened to a lot yesterday. I didn't hear him.
Owen, were you checking in?
I checked in as much as humanly possible. I heard zero calls.
Well, they would have led the show with it, right? If you've
firing.
Been saying for a week that this is the last potential win on the schedule, if you lose, you got to fire people. Now, did they ever say when it was a fireable offense, who specifically should be held accountable?
Well, I thought it was Kevin, right?
Well, I don't know.
Is that the thing? Is it a fireable offense? Like,
was it a Bubba Ventrone?
It's a person who works
Ken
at
Dorsey?
Staples. They're getting fired over a Browns loss.
Somebody in marketing?
I don't want to fire any of the people in marketing over
there.
We
love those people.
I don't even want to fire anybody over at Staples.
No, I don't want to fire anybody.
I don't want to fire anybody.
It's Thanksgiving.
I got a couple of people.
Next
I'd like
week.
To fire.
Come on.
Nice belt. That's a big, strong belt you got there. I didn't think about that.
I had eye gaze.
Think about where that belt has been. Anywho, this is...
On your son's tuchus.
When we start thinking about fireable offenses, I mean, teams in November, they always start holding, you know, coordinators accountable, blah, blah, blah. Is that going to mean anything to Browns fans if, like, today yesterday? Now, you're right. It's short week, so they would do it after Thursday. But if on Friday they fired Ventrone and Dorsey.
Oh, it would mean something to me because I go, wow, you guys made these decisions. They fired Ventrone and who?
And Dorsey.
Yeah, I'd go, you guys made these massive decisions and you got to fire them already by the end of the year. Who was in charge of this?
That looks terrible.
I would make a big deal about that.
It looks terrible.
It looks awful. And it's already awful, so it's like, hey, throw another log on the fire to some folks. But it's like, you guys force these big decisions, these big changes, and you guys can't even stick with them for a year? You don't feel comfortable with them for an entire season?
Now, let me ask you this. We've been talking about blame game. We had Zach Jackson on today.
Man, I like talking college football on this podcast.
I am seeing more and more people allude to the Browns' injuries this year.
As far as?
As that's where things went off the rails. Did you really think injuries were a huge part? I mean, because
once you make the playoffs with the injuries they had last year, I can't use that.
Well, look for this around year. The league. Like the Texans haven't had Will Anderson in like how many weeks?
But
like,
a while.
You just deal with it. Yeah. Detroit, Aiden Hutchinson was the best defensive player in the league, most productive at least. And imagine if we had Myles Garrett go out, what we'd be saying.
Well, the only thing I could say is that they're not as deep as they were last year, or maybe they're not as deep as we perceive them to be each of the last 2 years. But you still made the playoffs with guys who, as you said, right, weren't even at the Greenbrier last year. So once you do that, you get no quarter for future years because they've seen it happen already. So you don't get an excuse. Now, ultimately, you and I know that that type of stuff doesn't happen often, and that maybe there was a little bit of luck involved, like Bears game. Maybe there was a bit of luck involved, but you just don't get any of the goodwill because you've already seen it. So now it's an expected thing. Once they see, you become a victim, and this happens to everybody, and people are going to roll their eyes and go, here goes Ken kissing Stefanski's ass again. No, you become a victim of your own success. It's the same thing where, compare it to James Franklin. They want James Franklin out of Penn State. You're 10-2 every year. You just lose to the wrong teams. Your ceiling is, I said this before, you live in a penthouse with 6-foot ceilings. And standing on your roof is Ohio State. And that's a problem. Because it's like, how do I break through there? Well, you can go in a different direction and go to a terrible direction.
Yes, you can.
But this isn't college football. This is pro football. And you may think if we have to tear it down because a team like Penn State just reloads, a team like the Browns, because of their cap situation or their dearth of first-round picks over the last 3 years, you are probably going to have to take away to build back up. Well, that's going to take time. Is he the right guy to take time with? Because you could put him in a better situation, and there's so many people who defend Stefanski, including myself, and I do think that Stefanski could be a head coach again, find himself in a better situation, find himself in a more consistently successful situation. But this situation right now, based on what they've done, is probably untenable for everybody. And so if you hold on, to me, it's not a question of if, it's always a question of when, but it's like, hey, it's either this year or at the end of this year or halfway through next year. Because that quarterback's never going to be that quarterback again. That's done. As much as some people want to argue with me on Twitter.
Somebody who we both know who works in the media texted me yesterday, Kenny. I didn't want you to blow a gasket, so I didn't bring it up during the show. They said, you guys do realize Deshaun Watson's going to be starting week one next year. And I said, well, show your work on that one, as some local broadcasters would say. And they just said, just letting you know, don't be mad, don't kill the messenger, when Deshaun Watson's the starting quarterback next year.
You need to say that on the regular radio, not the podcast.